The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy, happiness, and balance to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome once again to another episode of the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we're here with Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Hey, Ira. How you doing this week?
I'll tell you what.
It's been a week.
It's been a heck of a week, that is for sure. But I'll tell you, if nobody out there believes us, we love you guys. Both of us are so blah, sick and everything. And here we are recording, getting positive energy going for all of you guys out there. We love y'all.
For sure.
You better know how much we love you.
So we'll jump right into Veterans Affairs and get this train rolling. The first story, Veterans Affairs, that I chose was about a guy named Nathan DeWalt. Nathan has traveled all over the world on his bicycle, but he doesn't pedal with his feet. He pedals with his hands. He says, I've ridden probably over 10,000 miles. I've ridden three of the most epic climbs as a cyclist, with help, mind you, not on my own, he says. He does all of the physical work, but Project Hero helped him get the gear he needed to ride. The nonprofit organization donates customized bikes to sick and wounded veterans and first responders, which gives them the freedom to ride regardless of their disability. He says, I wake up every day knowing that I'm doing something that I love. I get to ride a bike. I get to interact with my friends and my family. Project Hero helped Nathan, too. A motorcycle accident back in 2008 left him paralyzed from the waist down, which ended his military career and his dreams of being a Navy SEAL. But Project Hero had led him down a new path of cycling and being able to help others. He says he's gone from 0 to 100 and now he's fully recovered. He connects with other heroes while participating in Project Hero honor rides and bike challenges also across the country. When he's not riding, he's helping building bikes for other wounded soldiers at the Project Hero Hub in St. Petersburg. He says, my heart and soul is here and I wake up every day and I ask myself, how can I make today better than yesterday? How can I help one more person? Nathan and Project Hero do more than give bikes to veterans. They help with jobs, education, counseling, any other service that the servicemen need or former servicemen. He says, I know that my job is making an impact on my community, on my brothers and my sisters and people that I signed up to serve beside, and that's very important to me. And thanks to Project Hero, men and women who have lost their legs, their vision, their hearing, and for some, even the will to live, they're able to find the courage to soldier on. And the click for that website is www.projecthero.org. And I just thought that was a very inspirational story. It was very, very cool.
It absolutely is. And, you know, the thing with people that are like that, it you know, I take a look at my own self and think, I can't even ride my bike down the street, let alone doing it for 10,000 miles. You know, that's... It always amazes me when people find that kind of energy to do things like that, you know?
No kidding. I mean, just to drive to be able to do that and to cycle with his hands to come back from a terrible, terrible trauma, you know, and have the outlook that he does and to be able to help others, that's just amazing to me.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's think outside the raggedy box. I have an interesting concept this week. It's a little different, but it's also easy. And I thought of this this week when I was working on a project, and I knew what the final result was. I knew what I wanted to accomplish, and I was doing what I normally do is, you know, I use envelopes as writing pads, you know, bill envelopes and things like that. I recycle the paper.
Heck
so
yeah. They're awesome that way.
You do the same thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I got a big stack. Envelopes.
I've got a big stack of envelopes over here that do absolutely nothing but take notes. So.
Yep. And I've got bills, you know, like I have certain bills that come in every month. I know what they are and I've got them set up where I pay them, you know, the same time every month.
Yep.
So I'll use those envelopes.
Why not?
But, I know, right? So anyway, I'm making my list of what I wanted to accomplish and the goal that I had in mind, how I wanted everything to look finished. And I got the idea to work backwards because I was having some difficulty with getting some of the concepts to string together. So I had heard of this before, but I had never tried it, and it worked out well for me. And working backwards breaks the normal brain conception of causality. So it's the key to backwards planning. So when you start with a goal and you think back through the steps needed to reach it, it gets you where you are right now. And it was just a really cool concept, and I tried it, and it worked well for me. So just pick one thing this week, a job or a chore that you have to do that's a series of steps, and start at the result and formulate the idea. Go from the result backwards, work backwards. And it's really cool. It works well. I liked it. Have you ever tried it?
Yeah, actually, it's funny because I do the same methodology, not with my daily events, but with my writing. A lot of times when I'm writing a book or a story, I start from the end first, and I have like an end goal of the story in mind, and I write backwards.
Then work your way backwards and fill in the blanks.
Yeah,
there you
exactly.
go.
and it's the same thing. It works so exceedingly well. I always recommend it when I talk to people about, you know, how to write and stuff. It's like, if you have the ending in mind, you've already got everything done. You know, you just have to get your characters there. So, and that's
there you
how,
go.
And that's
fill
all
in
a process,
blank.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
And with me, it was a project, about another show that I'm coming up with a concept for. But I got the message to go ahead and try for the TV thing again. So I had been offered something like that in the past, and the timing just wasn't right for me at that time. So it came to me during the week. It's the time. So that's what I was working toward and how I would develop it and, you know, things that I wanted to have in it. And kind of like with the same flavor as this one that came to me, that was given to me. You know, it's not the same format every single time, but the series are connecting, you know what I mean? So working backwards helped me to start at the end and go back and think of different things that I wanted to incorporate into it. And it seemed to flow much simpler.
It's
so
funny because
I like it.
We human beings, we're excellent at coming up with plans to meet a goal. It's just a matter of actually getting that goal in mind. But
we're
really time travelers. You know, we're unlike many other species that are out there of, you know, beings here on this planet, we're pretty much the only ones that can think ahead and work ourselves towards that plan.
There we go. And there's the Ira moment of the week. 10,000 ants. No, just kidding. We won't do that one again. So the to-do list for you this week is also really easy. Everybody this week, I don't know if it's because of the weather changes, you know, the patterns, you know, the cold to hot, hot to cold. Not only are a lot of us sick, but a lot of us are a little more grumpy this week from what I've seen posted on Facebook and in other social media sites. And just in general, some of the emails that I've gotten, you know, it's more anxiety and, again, you know, the depression and anxiety and panic attacks, things like that seem to be on the upswing again. Now, you and I have our theories for that, and we know that a lot of what we feel is true. But in the essence of trying to lighten the mood, just for everybody to go online, you know, just Google, but read some jokes. You know, go on there and get a book, you know, from the library, go online. Just read some jokes or watch a short comedy skit on YouTube, or, you know, if you have Netflix, pick out a comedy show, but do something that has to do with humor. Engage yourself in humor, something that you're able to just look at and it's mindless and just laugh, you know, get rid of some of that stress and negativity. And that actually will help to lighten the energy for all of us, you know. And so it's a very positive thing, and it's a really easy thing, and it's a lot of fun. I happened to watch a comedy last night. I hadn't seen it in a long time. Do you remember Meet the Fockers?
Oh, yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah. So I did that. So my homework's done for the week. Now it's your turn.
Dadjokes.com. It's nothing but dad jokes that the computer tells you. It's one dad joke after another.
Bad like not funny or bad like dirty?
No. Dad. D-A-D. Daddy jokes.
Who?
Daddy jokes, you know, your father's jokes.
Oh, dad. You know where mine's going. My mind's going. jokes. Okay, cool. We'll have to check that site out and see what it's got. So for holistically healthy vital veggies this week, I picked tomatillas. Do you like them?
I do.
Well, for anybody that doesn't know what they are, it's a small, almost a version of a tomato. They've got a very tough, it's like a brown kind of an onion peel type of skin, but it's flaky. They're very, very small. And modern science is looking more closely than ever at them because of its proven ability to fight inflammation and to prevent the formation of blood vessels and tumors that promote cancer growth. So I like them when I can find them at our grocery store because for several reasons. Number one, I like them. But I also can use them for some holistic recipes that I have. So I find them very helpful. The Aztecs probably used them as one of their staple crops. It may have been Spanish conquistadors who introduced them, which tomatillos, by the way, translates to little tomatoes in Spanish, to the New World after first carrying them back to Spain. Sometimes they're called husk cherries, tomato verde. It is a Mexican fruit. It's got like, I guess, Japanese lantern shell is how the article describes them. So I guess that would be a pretty apt description. They're faintly tart. They have like a lemon essence. They're tastier when they're pickled green than if the fruit is allowed to darken to yellow, red, or even purple. And when they're fully grown, they're about the size of a walnut. So they're not huge. But a lot of people use them in enchiladas, tacos, burritos, soups. And containing all the right ingredients, they have a good source of dietary fiber, niacin, potassium, and manganese. They contain 20% of the daily recommended value in vitamin C, 13% of the vitamin K, and a healthy amount of iron, magnesium, phosphorus, and copper. When you compare them with tomatoes, they provide a few more calories, fat, and other protein per ounce, but the extra fiber, minerals, antioxidants, and vitamins make up for it. So, I learned from an old Mexican lady, if you take them and you put one on a fork, if somebody in your house has a bad burn, you can stick it on the end of a fork prong and hold it over the open flame of your stove and just slowly turn it like you're roasting it, scald it until the skin gets soft. And then you mash it into a paste and put it on a burn or a cut. And it's wonderful for its healing abilities that way. Of course, you know, let the mixture cool down before you put it on somebody's arm. But it works very, very well for that too.
Here's a burn for your burn.
Yeah, right. And the recipe that I came up with, and it looks really good. I haven't tried this one yet, is tomatillo soup. And it just is non-fat sour cream, about a half a cup, a pound of tomatillos, a pound of orzo, which I love, chicken bouillon. Now, the recipe calls for 1 cube. I don't have bouillon in my house because a lot of it contains MSG. So I prefer the low-sodium organic broth that comes in the package containers. I use that. Or there's a wonderful product that's out on the market. It's in a little jar to make. It's a chicken base that you can get. And all different stores have different varieties of it. But you can use that and substitute that instead of the bouillon cube. Garlic, 3 cloves, and 1 jalapeno. And the recipe is very, very easy to make. All you do is lightly spray a nonstick 4-quart Dutch oven with vegetable oil. Put the oven on medium heat, add the onion, garlic, a few teaspoons of water, cook it stirring constantly for about 5 minutes until everything's tender, and then add 3 cups of water, the tomatillos, the jalapeno, and the bouillon cube or the soup base, and bring to a boil. Reduce the heat and simmer 8 to 10 minutes. Cool it slightly. Put everything in a food processor, or you can use, they call it an immersion. What's an immersion? I'm not that fancy.
That's where you can put it into a jar and then put it into hot water.
Put
the jar
into
hot water.
All right. Yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah.
Or I thought it was something fancy from like the Food Network or something. That. Or hand blend it or puree it until smooth. Return the mixture to the Dutch oven. Stir in the orzo. Heat it through, but don't boil it. And then you can either stir in the sour cream right in the pot, or you can just put a little bit on top of the soup as you serve it. I would probably mix it into the soup, personally. And that's it. It's very, very easy, and the picture looks absolutely delicious. Let's see. What do you want to do now? You want to go to Comedy Corner?
Yeah, don't eat the picture, though.
Don't eat the picture. No.
We can do the Comedy Corner.
You're a little weird tonight. You're scaring me.
I know. It's well, this is what happens when I've been feverish all week, okay?
You're always weird. We're both weird.
This is true. Hey, I am the strangest person I've ever met, and I try to prove it every day. So
there you go.
We can jump into the comedy for you here. Have fun with it, guys.
And see, there are people. Anybody here like vegetarian against killing animals? I mean, like, yeah, because I know this is Michigan. You don't probably have but one or two. See, California. The poor animal, you can't kill the animal. We eat vegetables. God made it so if you can't run fast, you get killed. It's in the Bible, 2 Corinthians, thou shalt run as fast as you can. And when caught, you shall be eaten. Anybody here vegetarian? My daughter's a vegetarian. You vegetarian? Why are you vegetarian? You don't even know why, do you? It sounded cool. I don't eat meat anymore. And I'm so hungry right now. You hungry right now? You hungry right now? Your blood sugar so low? Look at all these meat eaters. Ha ha! Ah ha ha! Ah ha! You! How long is he gonna talk? I thought this was a half hour show. How long is this show? I need a carrot. So why'd you become a vegetarian? When you became a vegetarian? Yeah, because it ain't natural. It's not natural. Look, okay, I'm gonna help you out. Look at life, look at the jungle. Who's the one running after everybody? Lions, tigers, eat meat. Look at little vegetarians. Trying to get to a hole. Go, 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 go! Go, 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 go! We lost Jimmy! Watch Animal Planet. You'll start eating sandwiches.
I recently became a father. Thank you. Became a father for the fourth time. Never as much applause on that part. Really no applause, right? Because after the third kid, people stop congratulating you. Then they just treat you like you're Amish. Four, well, that's one way to live your life. Can you build us one of those wood fireplaces? Four kids. If you want to know what it's like to have a fourth, just imagine you're drowning, and then someone hands you a baby. The good news is we live in a two-bedroom apartment, so I thought it through. I haven't slept in 7 years. I didn't always look like this. I'm actually Puerto Rican. But the wear and tear of parent, I used to have thick black hair. I was muy guapo. No mas. No more guapo. My wife had the baby at home. We had all our babies at home, just to make you feel uncomfortable. People don't want to hear about home birth. They're like, oh, you had your baby at home. Yeah, we were going to do that, but we wanted our baby to live. People always assume there was some laziness involved. You didn't want to go to the hospital? It was far. I didn't feel like putting on pants. We had our baby at home, not in a field. At home? Well, why wouldn't you have it in that germ-infested building where sick people congregate? Didn't your wife want to give birth in a gown someone died in yesterday? It's just the truth. Home birth is crazy, huh?
Would you like to go to wear a gown that somebody died in yesterday? I hate hospitals, man.
I like that one. That was Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan's awesome. And the first one was Sinbad. I've always been a huge fan of Sinbad. He's one of my favorites. So.
Me too. He's amazing.
Love them both. Love them both.
I like the fact that I searched for him. I didn't have to have you bleep out every single other word either. So that
that too.
Cool.
Saves me some effort. Because I'm lazy. I want to give birth to my babies in a field.
And he's like the whitest, palest Irish guy I've ever seen. Yeah. I used to be Puerto Rican. Too funny. So for memorable, you got to watch his movies. I picked Don Juan DeMarco. Have you seen this one?
You got another one I haven't seen, actually.
Woohoo! Zing. Shazam.
It's terrible.
Watch it.
It's terrible because I speak fluent movie quotes, so it's terrible that you keep picking movies that I don't know.
I do it just to trick you, Ira.
You do.
Yep. I try and find things that you haven't seen or songs that you haven't heard of just to stump you because, you know, you're that webby guy. So this one, I'm telling you, it's pretty cool, actually. It's got, Bryan Adams did the song for Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman, which is one of my favorite all-time songs by him. So that right there was a score. Johnny Depp stars in it. And his saying was, love conquers all. One of the inspirational movie quotes that I love from the movie is when he says, there are only four questions of value in life. Don Octavio, which another character. What is sacred? Of what is the spirit made? What is earth worth living for? And what is worth dying for? The answer to each is the same. Only love. Isn't that cool?
That is. It's a movie that I've always wanted to see. It's just I've never had the opportunity to really sit down and watch it. So,
it was on Netflix, I think, at one point. I don't know if it still is. But anyway, it's about a psychiatrist who treats a most unusual patient, only to find that the doctor is the one who gains the most from their sessions in this philosophical romantic comedy. A young man in a mask and cape, played by Johnny Depp, is standing atop a billboard threatening to jump. When the potential suicide is finally talked down, he's brought to a psychiatric facility where, after one doctor washes his hands of him, he's placed under the supervision of another doctor, Jack Nickler, played by Marlon Brando. How cool is that? He's one of my all-time favorites. So Marlon plays an aging psychiatrist who's getting ready to retire, and the patient informs him that he is actually the great lover Don Juan, who has seduced over 1,500 women, but has fallen into a deep depression after being unable to win the hand of the woman of his dreams. Nickler has 10 days to work with Don Juan, after which he'll be released on medication or committed to a long-term stay in a mental hospital. No pressure, right? So as Nickler talks with the young man, who speaks rapturously of the art of love, the doctor finds out that the philosophies are actually helping him in his marriage, who he's married to Faye Dunaway in the movie, so another big star. And he slowly becomes convinced that the patient might really be Don Juan after all. So that's the premise behind the movie. It's really cool. It's cute. And it's got some really big time names in it. I like it. I think if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. And if not, watch it again. It's time.
There you go.
So let's see what else we got here. We can go into Mamma Mia.
All righty.
Shadows fall and the lovely day, and with longing I recall the days I spent with you.
So for this week's Mamma Mia, I picked Mamas and Their Children. And it's coming at least from an Italian family. Mothers and their children are very, very close in our family, and especially with the boys. So it doesn't matter if your son is 5 or 55. To a mother, and to an Italian mother especially, that's always your baby. And I was reflecting on times that I was told about before I was actually born, stories that my family had passed down upon. And one of the ones that sticks out to me the most is when my grandma was in a car with my pop, and they were traveling with my father and my mother, and they were going somewhere, and they got into a car accident. And it wasn't very serious, but my parents had some injuries, and he was bleeding, I guess, from the way that it was passed down to me. And for whatever reason, I'm not sure of the specifics of the accident, but from what I remember, they got like kind of T-boned. And my mom and my pop, my grandma and my pop got out of the vehicle, and they went running toward the car, back toward the car. And she was worried about getting her son out. Couldn't care less about his wife. She just wanted her son to be okay. Well, the paramedics arrived on the scene, and the door was stuck or something. They couldn't get into the car. And she just kept yelling to the paramedics, "My baby's in the car, my baby's in the car." So when they got to the scene, they, of course, you know, really hightailed it over there, thinking that there was an infant child in the back seat. It ended up being my father, who was like married, you know.
You're always the baby, no matter what.
You know, especially, like I said, in Italian families, it doesn't matter how old your children are. They're always your babies. And, you know, it just, I look back on my life and, you know, my children are older now. You know, they're not babies anymore, but they're still young. And I view it the same way. You know, I mean, I think about if something were to happen to them, or, you know, just the way that my perception of them is, that I would gladly give my life for them. And my first concern would be for them. And I would probably be just as upset as she was the day that she saw her son in the backseat in an accident.
I'll tell you what, my mom is 82. I'm 46. Mm-hmm. She lives with me and she still mothers me. So it happens.
Isn't that funny? It never goes away, right?
Never.
I mean, it never goes away. So, yeah, well, like I said, she couldn't care less if my mother lived or died, but she wanted to make sure that her son was okay.
That's the way it goes.
that's really an Italian thing. A lot of times in the families, there are problems with the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law. You know, they just don't always seem to get along.
Yeah.
At least in just about every case I've heard of, there'll be some sort of conflict there. Very rarely are they, you know, very close.
It's probably because of the fact that they're always the babies, right?
Well, I think that's what it is, you know, and boys are spoiled. I mean, they are, yeah. You know, I mean, and you try and treat the children as equally as you can, but at least in my background anyway, you know, boys are typically spoiled and they don't have to do the cooking and they don't have to do the cleaning and they don't have to learn the things that the women have to learn, you know, the young ladies have to learn. And, they, you know, when they grow up, a lot of them are so spoiled from their mothers that, you know, their parents are in their 20s, their parents are still, their mom's still doing their laundry, or, you know, still walking over to their apartment and cleaning up their apartment if they've even moved out. You know, a lot of them still live at home. And the boys are typically very, very spoiled. And that's just the way it is in our culture anyway, you know. And I look at the differences between my two. And I look at my girl who's, you know, if she's sick, you know, I hardly even hear about it unless I can get her to talk to me on the phone because she's so busy. You know, it's like, "Oh, mom, I got a cold. I'm sorry. I don't feel well, you know, and I haven't been feeling well. So I slept last night instead of calling you." The boy, oh, no, I get a picture of the runny nose and the whining for 10 minutes. "I don't feel good.
Hey, I'll tell you
what. What can I take for this cold?"
I'll tell you what. I hate getting sick because it brings out the inner wimp in me right there.
Men are babies anyway when they're sick, but yep. An Italian man, forget about it, man. It's just hopeless. I mean, he actually, like, faced WhatsApp is it? Yeah, from Manhattan, you know, to tell me, "I got a cold. I don't feel good." What, to try and make me feel guilty because he didn't feel well. And it worked. Whereas my daughter, I'm like, "Okay, I'll send you some tissues and cough syrup. You'll be good." You know?
Yep.
She can handle it. You know, the boy, no. No.
I'll come make you some chicken soup, honey. It's okay.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I'm like buying a train ticket home, you know?
Yep.
So for Way Cool Affirmations in Scripture this week, this one was a hard one for me because we take our mistakes very seriously. Some of us do. And when we make a mistake, because we want to be perfect, because we want to do the best that we can do, sometimes when we're shown our mistakes, it almost embarrasses us, you know, depending on the mindset that you're on. I'm kind of over that. You know, I don't like to make mistakes, but if I make a mistake, you know, I might get angry at myself for a minute or two and then I'm over it. You know, I kind of move on to the next thing. But some of us carry that along with us. And a lot of times it's from something that's happened to us in our childhood. You know, maybe we were told when we were kids, no matter what we did, wasn't good enough or wasn't perfect enough, or you have to be perfect, you know, in order to be a valuable member of society. And so I had a couple instances of people that I worked with this week that suffered from that exact same situation. You know, when they were children, they were told, you know, I'm not good enough, or you're not perfect, or you have to do this perfectly, or in one case, it's a sin if you don't do it perfectly. And I'm like, seriously? You know, why would you want to put that type of pressure on your children instead of encouraging your children and showing them the right way? And if they make a mistake, encouraging them to keep trying and going on rather than giving up or making them feel worthless. You know, it just, to me, I don't understand that mindset at all. But in both of these cases, you know, the people took what they perceived even to be as a mistake. It was like I'm sorry, I did it wrong. And I'm like, you know, chill out, it's fine. You know, mistakes happen. You know, you dropped a little dish or whatever. I got it at the dollar store. It's not a big deal, you know, kind of thing. They were torturing themselves over it. And I got apologies three times over. And it just made me feel really badly, you know, because there's no reason for that. You know, we all should know that, first of all, God forgives our mistakes if we ask for forgiveness. And nobody's perfect. And, you know, mistakes happen. You know, that's what makes us human. That's just a part of being human. And please don't beat yourself up over things like that. You know, the little things in life like that that you stress over can make you so sick. And it's not worth it. So the affirmation that I chose was, I forgive myself for all the mistakes that I have made. And I did two scripture quotes this week. I like Psalms, so I did Psalm 32:5, and this is the ESV version. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity, I said. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And that was from Stella. And then in Proverbs 19:11, also ESV, this week I chose, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. So try not to take things so personally, and if you make a mistake, it's okay to make a mistake. That's what makes us all learn and grow. When we learn from our mistakes, that's what makes us to become better people in the end. And I just, again, you know, I feel so incredibly sorry for these people that are raised in homes where, you know, they were always told they had to be perfect. It's one thing to have a really good work ethic and to have, you know, a drive and to give it your best shot in everything that you do. But if you don't succeed on the first try, or if you don't get it exactly right, it's okay. It's okay. You know, you tried, you know. So what do you think about that one?
Well, I definitely agree with it. I mean, the way that this world is right now, we live in a world that's spun with negativity, you know, and that's one of the reasons why we do this show. So when you're living in a world that tends towards that negative all the time, why put more negative onto yourself? You're just piling up garbage into yourself that doesn't belong, you know?
Yeah, and it's amazing to me because in both cases, these are like the sweetest, kindest people you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
You know, and to be carrying that around with them all the time, my heart just goes out to them because I think of the pressure that they put themselves under all day, every day. You know, and it's just, to me, it's such a wasteful form of energy, and my heart goes out to them for how their perception is of things and what they must feel inside, like, you know, every time they do something, you know, the least little offense, you know, is a really big deal to them. You know, like they're worried they're going to get yelled at or screamed at or told they're not good enough.
Yeah, much of the time they were either raised in that kind of environment or they've been together with somebody that that treated them that way, and it was it's a learned behavior. You know, it really is.
Yeah.
It's something that you can learn yourself out of. It just takes work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I pray for them and wish them all the best. And, you know, I guess that's all you can do, right? And just keep encouraging them, you know, to keep trying, that it's okay. Let them know when you have a situation like that, that it's all right. It's fine to make a mistake. Just pick yourself up and try again, you know. If it's a big thing and if it's a little thing, don't sweat it, you know. If the world were to explode tomorrow, that dollar store dish wouldn't be anything.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep, exactly.
In the grand scheme of things, you know. So, how about some dancing music?
Why, sure, we can do that for sure. I love...
Good, because I got to pee.
I love this song, too. So, yeah, here you guys go. A little bit of dancing music while you go run to Tinkle.
And get coffee.
Come on, folks. If you don't know who that is, you ain't been around, right?
For real.
That's Aretha Franklin. You know, Aretha is, I'll tell you what, she is a powerhouse. Always was. And I've always been really impressed with Aretha's singing myself. She's just amazing. Dynamo, you know, love her stuff.
Love her. That was the Blues Brothers version. So
yeah.
It was a little bit more jammy. It's the scene from when she's in the diner. She's a waitress.
Right. Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. I love that version.
Yep. Me too. She's, I can't believe this. I didn't know this actually. She's self-taught. So her singing, her piano playing, everything is completely self-taught. She learned how to play by ear. I'm always impressed by people that have learned how to play musical instruments by ear, you know?
Isn't that cool? I thought it was a cool thing to throw in there, a cool fact that I didn't think a lot of people would know, because she's just so amazing. Whoever would have thought?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I love it. And I guess her dad was a preacher. Now, I didn't know this, actually, but he was a very famous preacher.
Got you twice.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. But I guess he even was so popular that Martin Luther King Jr. came and listened to him. Jackie Wilson, Sam Cooke, they all came to his household to listen to him preach. So, yeah, very cool.
Isn't that awesome? She's just amazing.
She absolutely is, yes.
How much time we got left, buddy?
Good question. Let me see.
Got you three times. I'm on a roll.
We got 20 minutes. 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Hmm. You want to talk about Reese's some more? No. I will. How about I go into the meditation? Have you ever heard of the monkey meditation?
I have not, no.
Oh, good thing you said that, because I made it up. But I haven't yet done the candle meditation. And I know that's very, very, it's a popular old school one in meditation groups and circles. A lot of people do the candle meditations. And I just haven't chosen to do it up until now, because it is so cliche. But I thought we'd give it a try this week and see how it goes. What do you think?
That sounds good.
Okay.
I could use a nice relaxing moment.
No snoring.
Oh, come on.
No. You got to stick it out. We got like 15 more minutes. You can do it. I got faith in you. So if everybody could stop it. Behave, will you? Gosh. So if everybody could just relax and get comfortable and sit back, and hopefully my dogs will be quiet. Lean back on the sofa or lay back in the chair as far as you can reach. Get comfortable. Start to take deep breaths. Starting from the top of your head. Breathe. And as you start to relax, you can either light a candle next to you or picture, visualize a lit candle in your mind. Continuing to breathe. Picture the energy flowing through your crown chakra, the chakra at the top of your head. Breathe and relax. Breathe in positivity. Breathe out negativity. And focus on the candle flame. As you breathe, relax your hair, your scalp, your forehead, eyebrows. Breathing to relax your eyes, your nose, your ears. Breathing in, relax your mouth, your chin. You can let your head fall forward just a little bit. Relax to the point, even if you like, where your head is resting on your neck, on your chest. And visualize that flame, or if you have a candle lit, stare at the flame. As you breathe in, try not to blink if you're able, for as long as you can. Breathing in, relaxing your shoulders, your neck, your upper arms, your chest. Breathing. If you need to blink, it's okay. If your eyes water, that's fine. But try not to blink for as long as you can. Breathing in. Relax your chest muscles, your elbows, your lower arms. Breathing in positive energy, white light. Breathing out and relaxing your wrists, your hands, your fingers. the tips of your fingers. Stare deeper and deeper into the flame, or visualize the flame in your mind with your eyes closed. The flame grows brighter. It's darker at the bottom, whiter at the top, very, very bright in the center, the color of the sun. As you breathe, breathe in the fire of the flame, the white light, the healing energy, knowing that you're totally safe, totally protected, held in the arms of angels. Breathe in the white light, the energy, the warmth of the sun. Breathe out the negativity. Breathing in again, relax your hips, your upper legs. The flame gets higher and it starts to dance. And as you breathe and relax, you can start to see shapes almost in the flame of the candle. Breathing in, relax your knees, your lower legs, your ankles. Breathing in the white light, the purity of the flame, the warmth of the flame. Breathing out all negativity, all stress. As you picture every cell in your body becoming whole, complete, and fully healed. Finally, breathing in through your ankles and your feet, out through your toes. As you're totally relaxed, you fixate on the flame. The darkness toward the bottom, you realize, is a brilliant blue. It's almost an indigo color. The center is a very, very golden yellow. And the very tip is a very, very whitish blue. As the flame dances, fix your gaze on the flame. You can see images in the fire. A lot of us, when we do this meditation, can see little tiny angels in the flame of the fire. Breathing and relaxing. Feeling your body. Breathing in the warmth. Breathing in the white light. Breathing in the energy, the healing energy of the flame. As you watch the flame and it dances, it shifts shape. Sways from side to side, gently moving. As you breathe in and out, totally relaxed, totally safe. You picture in the white flame the healing of each of your cells, and the burning away of anything that's negative, anything that's diseased, anything that's harmful for you. Depending on your current situation, whether it be health or finances, personal conflicts, breathe in the energy of the flame, the peace and tranquility, the warmth of the sun, the white healing energy. And breathe out all the negativity. The candle sways from side to side. The safety and the comfort, the warmth. The flame gets higher, burns brighter. As you breathe slowly in and out, you can picture the flame almost looks like a cathedral window. when you're sitting there by yourself reflecting. If the light shines through brilliantly, the energy transforms you. The love and the warmth surround you. The safety. As you breathe in, feel the healing energy. All negativity is burnt away by the flame. All disease is burnt away by the flame. The only thing that remains is pure healing warmth. Breathing pure healing. Breathing in peace. Solitude. Breathing in and out as you watch the flame. Left to right. Higher than lower. It seems to be dancing. The flame in a candle celebrates beauty. Peace, strength, purity. It burns away all negativity. It brings you closer to source, closer to God. You feel at one as you breathe in and out. Peace, the joy, the beauty of something so simple as a candle. No matter how much you paid for this candle, whether it be a fancy candle from a designer store or a candle from a 50-cent clearance rack, the purity and strength of the flame is the same. The energy is the same. The feeling, the peace, the content, the protection, the relaxation is the same. Breathing in one more solid breath. Deep, healing, meditative. Breathing out anything that's toxic or negative to you, to your situation, to your body. You start to breathe. Breathe in through your feet. Wiggle your toes. Breathe up through your ankles into your lower legs. Still breathing in the calming, the soothing, the healing. Up through your knees and your thighs, breathing. You feel energized. There's a vitality there as you stare at the flame. Breathe in through your hips, through your lower torso. And hold that energy right there. Breathe in and out once, twice. The healing, the soothing, the peacefulness. Picture the light of that candle, the flame of that candle, being placed into your lower abdomen. It burns bright inside of you. It gives you the strength to carry on, breathing in. It gives you cleansing, healing, blessing, protection. Breathing in, up through your chest, into your heart. Let the flame reside there as well. The power of the flame. The purity of the white, the connection to God. Breathe in and breathe out, letting it fill every single cell of your body, every chakra. Your entire body is filled with the white light, the purification of the flame. Breathing in, you can move your fingers, your wrists, your lower arms. You can breathe, bringing life back into your elbows, upper arms, shoulders. Breathing into your chest, feeling revitalized, rejuvenated, energized, but still at peace. As the flame sways back and forth. Warmth, peace, and healing. As you draw those final breaths up through your neck, your chin, up through your face, your facial muscles. Breathing in peace, tranquility, love, and healing. One final breath. And carry that energy from your feet all the way through your body. One more time. And hold it there as you stare into the flame. Breathe in and picture that energy, the purification, flowing out your crown chakra, filling your aura, so that you're peaceful, energized, restored, strong, filled with love, totally relaxed, totally at peace, but feeling refreshed. Thanks, Ira.
Thank you, Maggie, for everything that you do. This has been a great one. I love it. And hopefully everybody out there is nice and relaxed and ready for their week. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, too, Ira. I'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Have a great week, everyone.
You too, buddy. Stay well.